Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, where are we on the internet?
Well, we are many places, but two specific places. We're on Facebook. You can go to Today's Issues Facebook page, or if you're not a Facebook fan, then you can go to AFR.net and listen live there, or you can listen to any previous shows that we've had here.
American Family Radio, AFR.net. Also, Ed, we have an app for people, don't we, Ed?
We do, Tim. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
If you have a device, a smartphone or an iPad or something like that, and you want to download the app, you can just go to the App Store. We have an app that will download in about 60 seconds. And if you have a good connection, you can listen to us anywhere around the world 24/7.
What if you got a dumb phone, though, Ed?
Well, I'm sorry. God still loves your phone. I shouldn't joke about
God
that.
God loves your phone. Is that in the Bible?
I was just going to say, listen.
An inanimate object,
smart
God
people,
loves?
Dumb people, tall people, short people, well, God loves them all.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Okay,
but
God
I
does love
make
dumb
fun.
People. I would agree with that.
I shouldn't make fun of the love of God, obviously. I don't want to make light of that.
You're
but
on your own.
Thank you. But if you have a dumb phone, we can't help you.
It's your responsibility.
That's right.
If you want a smartphone.
If you want an app, you got
to
have a smartphone.
That's what we're saying.
A phone that can do it. That's right.
That's right. We're saying. So next time you go in the phone store, you ask them, what's this phone's IQ? And that way you
can I get those their apps on it?
Get yourself a smartphone. Hey, was in Washington, D.C., as I've mentioned several times, for the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. And he was sworn in along with Vice President Mike Pence, the former governor of Indiana. So those two gentlemen took the reins on Friday as the two top leaders of our country. Well, on inauguration morning, I was invited to attend a prayer service, a church service at the St. John's Church, which is one block north of the White House. It's called the Church of the Presidents. It's a very historic church, and we had a service that lasted about 30 to 40 minutes, and at that service, attended by Donald Trump and Mike Pence, Dr. Robert Jeffress, the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church Dallas. And Bible teacher on Pathway to Victory each morning here on American Family Radio. He preached a sermonette, I guess you would say. And I wanted to invite Robert on and tell folks what he said to the president. And Robert is with us. Are you in Dallas today, Robert?
I am in Dallas, finally.
I know. You were in D.C., and then you've been doing a lot of interviews on Fox, too, right?
Right, yeah, it's been a busy, busy couple of weeks. So, and I'll be on Lou Dobbs tonight. So,
now, do you do that from, you have a studio there at the church? You do that from where?
We have a studio here, but actually the Fox studio is about two blocks from the church, and it's easier just to let them do it.
All right, I was at the church service that you spoke at, and it was just a powerful event, and it was kind of surreal being there. I didn't get invited till like 11 p.m. on the night before. A friend of mine calls on Thursday night and says, hey, you and Allison, my wife, you want to come to this? And, of course, I said yes. Now I'm starting to think that maybe somebody else canceled and I was second or third. I like my friend, but I'm going to have to ask him that sometime. Did somebody cancel? And so you thought of me at the last minute. But anyway, whatever the case, I got in, Allison got in, and we sat there and we watched Mike Pence and his family come down the aisle. Then we watched President Trump come down with his family at the church. And then Dr. Robert Jeffress delivered the main message. And Robert, what can you tell us about? How did that come about for you, and what was your And let's talk about what you had to say to the president.
Well, actually, President Trump and I started talking on election night about my role in the inauguration, and I was very honored to be asked to deliver the message at this private family prayer service. And I was thinking about, you know, what could I say, not to lecture the president, but to encourage him. And I thought immediately of the parallels between him and another great leader God raised up 2,500 years ago to restore Israel. And when God looked for a leader, he didn't choose a politician, he didn't choose a priest, he chose a builder named Nehemiah and told him the first step in restoring the nation was to build a giant wall around Jerusalem. And, of course, you know, you were there. People laughed. The president got a big kick out of that. And but I said, you know, God blessed Nehemiah for three reasons. He refused to allow his critics to distract him. He refused to allow setbacks to stop him, and he called upon God's name to empower him. And interestingly, Tim, the message was reprinted in Time magazine this week. They published it a couple of days ago. It's up on our website at ptv.org if people want to read what I said to the president.
Can we put that on our Facebook page,
absolutely,
too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Wow. I tell you what, well, you delivered that message, and then after you got through, Dr. James Dobson came up and prayed over and admonished, if you will, spiritually, Mike Pence. Do you know Mike Pence very well? How long have you known him?
I tell you what, it was really interesting. I was in President Trump's office a couple of weeks ago at Trump Tower, and he asked me, we had a meeting, and he said, have you ever met Mike Pence? And I said, no. And he said, well, I told him you were coming today, and I wanted you two to get together. So he buzzed Vice President Pence to come in, and we got to meet for the first time. And then I got to visit with him for a little while afterwards, and I've really grown to appreciate him.
Yeah. Well, it was then after that, James Robinson, evangelist, and James Robinson has a very popular television program too, and he's been on our program several times over the years. Just a real man of God, and he got up and he asked President Trump to stand, and then he did the same thing that James Dobson did with Mike Pence. Now you got to put this visual in your mind. At the podium is James Robinson. And James is about 6'4".
Pretty tall guy, yeah.
And Donald Trump is on the front row, I think. And James Robinson asked him to stand up. And Donald Trump stands up. And there's nobody else standing in the church service, in the sanctuary. And James Robinson, again, admonishes him, challenges him, and basically says, you've been... James Robinson is saying, I think you've been picked for such a time as this, and I think that's what Robert believes, to carry out an important mission for our country. And he prayed over him, and I just thought the whole thing was very moving and powerful. Your message was right on, and so it was a great way to start the day. And Robert, what are your maybe top two or three hopes for President Trump and Vice President Pence as we go forward here?
Well, when we met a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the agenda, and I can tell you these were not empty campaign promises, Tim. I mean, he is moving forward on fulfilling the promises that he made to evangelicals: a conservative judiciary, a repeal of the Johnson Amendment, the protection of religious liberties here in America and around the world, and he's making strides in all of those areas. I think he feels very committed to doing that. And, you know, I think, Tim, we've got to be clear. We're not going to like everything he does.
Right.
We're not going to agree with everything he does, but just everybody needs to take a breath and remember what the alternative was.
Right. No, exactly. You're right. And I wrote a column about this yesterday. I said, I think Christians are going to like most of what Donald Trump does. There may be times of disagreement or disappointment, but aren't there with every president?
Right.
Aren't there with every leader? I'm sure, Robert, you're probably the exception. You probably have deacons who agree with everything you do. And you've never had any conflict or problems.
Oh, no, never.
Right, right. So see there, you're the exception. But most times, if you go on down through time, through years and years, you're going to have times when you disagree with even your best friends. So that's going to happen, but hopefully it won't happen very often with Donald Trump and Mike Pence. The curious thing to me, one other question for you, Robert, is that evidently Donald Trump has not been told yet he's not supposed to hang out with people like you.
I think he's been told.
Oh, he has been? Okay, well, I mean, I just don't get it. He just keeps hanging out with these Christians and doesn't seem to care what the secular media thinks about that.
As you probably know, and there's a whole backstory to this, but Thursday night, CNN just launched an absolute broadside against me and vicious attack, calling me the inflammatory pastor who Trump picked to preach at the service, and anti-Muslim, anti-gay, blah, blah, blah. And so, and then that's what CBS and NBC all led with Friday morning of the inauguration. Donald Trump doesn't care, and I'll tell you what, he doesn't believe it's right for conservative Christians to be marginalized and demonized. Tim, I've known him for 2 years. I'm under no illusion that he believes like I do on every issue, but at least he believes those of us who are conservative Christians have a right to be heard and not vilified by the media, and that's what I appreciate about him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still having to pinch myself here to make sure this really happened, because you're right. We the Christian community in America, avoided absolute disaster had Hillary Clinton been elected. I mean, it would have been a disaster on many levels. Donald Trump may not be, he's not the savior, but Donald Trump is friendly to Christians. He's learning more about our issues. He's willing to listen to people like Dr. Robert Jeffers and others. And so Mike Pence is a brother in the Lord who has whose Donald Trump has chosen to be his political soulmate. These are all positive things, and I think our job now as Christians is to pray for President Trump and pray for Vice President Pence.
Yes.
Because they as you know, they are under siege from the secular left. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be bloody, but it's going to. So we need to pray for them as they lead our country. Robert, thanks so much for your time. God bless you, brother, and we appreciate you sharing your insights with us.
It's great to be with you all. Thanks so much.
Okay, Ed, what do you think about what Dr. That was Dr. Robert Jeffress, senior pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, speaking to us about his participation in the inauguration.
Well, it seems clear to me that God is doing something in the country. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I'm not a prophet. He has spared our nation another 4 years of secular progressive destruction mm-hmm. of the republic and of our Judeo-Christian foundations. I hope that God intends to revive our country, maybe with a great awakening. I think maybe Donald Trump's desire to stand by Israel when President Obama, in my opinion, stabbed them in the back in the final weeks of his final year in office. And so, but it seems selecting Trump, you know, Trump coming all the way from the back of the field to become president has to be a God thing. And as you said, he's not perfect. He's not the savior. But God is intending to do something in our nation. That's my hope and my prayer.
Let me tell you something. Having been Robert Jeffress and Tim Wildman are both pariahs to the secular left media.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for a lot of fellow Christians, they don't want to hang out with us.
Right.
because the media are the LGBT groups might come after them for having an association
right
with us. So
They're embarrassed of us. That's the nicest way of putting it.
Yeah, I've got that
They're cowards. That's the worst way of putting it.
I've gotten that treatment before from people you wouldn't think, who are fellow brothers and sisters, who you wouldn't think would treat us like that. But don't be associated with Wildman. He's a radioactive man.
Right.
Same way with Robert Jeffress. And so what I'm saying is, for Donald Trump, either he doesn't know enough to know he's supposed to stay away from people like Robert, or he knows Robert personally, knows he's not these things that the liberal media makes him out to be, has himself been victimized by the caricature the liberal media wants to make of him. And he says, I don't care.
It's the latter. I believe it's the latter.
He doesn't care?
Doesn't care.
Trump doesn't care? Good for him, I'm saying. Yeah. Good for him. Yeah. Go ahead.
And let me just say, because I have gotten, I got a phone call from a listener. And when we say on the air that Trump, I'm just trying to clarify so people going forward understand. When we say on the air that Trump doesn't know enough to know he's not supposed to be seen with our kind, we are not calling
the man ignorant.
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
Some people misunderstand that.
Right.
What we are saying is he's not a politician, and therefore he has not been molded in such a way as to be quick to compromise. So I just want people to understand, because we all say that.
Yeah.
He doesn't know enough to know that he's not supposed to.
He's not PC.
That he's not. Yeah. So we're not insulting the man.
No.
It is a compliment. So.
It is a compliment when we say that. It's a joke in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee you, with the possible exception of Ted Cruz, any of the other Republican candidates who might have won the presidency would be distancing themselves right now from the, quote, religious right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. And they would be joining up with the establishment, and they would be forgetting the principle, maybe Marco Rubio, I don't know. But, I'm trying to think down through the list of people. But I'm just saying that usually this is the treatment we get as Christians.
We're the cranky uncle that's seated way down at the end of the table during Thanksgiving.
Right. And they want... The Republican establishment wants the votes of the Christians during the election, and then when the election's over, we're told to go to the back of the bus. You're an embarrassment to us.
Right.
Okay, and then that's the way it's always worked, pretty much, except for Ronald Reagan. Now, along comes Trump, who's not even an evangelical Christian.
Right.
And he wants, and he's the one who doesn't care that he's seen identifying with evangelical or conservative Christians. I'm just saying it's a breath of fresh air to not be treated like
dirt. It's like when you say such and such a running back doesn't even know enough to be afraid of that defensive line.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
That's a good analogy.
It means he has no fear.
He has no fear.
He
has no fear. And for Donald Trump, for his weaknesses and his strengths, or whether you like him or not, the guy is fearless when it comes to taking on. Look at his speech the other day at the inauguration. He said exactly what he has said for 2 years since he, so he didn't change his message to placate the Democrats.
Or the Republicans who were sitting on the platform.
No, he was basically scolding them as well.
Right.
So the guy... maybe when you're a 70-year-old billionaire, what do you have to fear? Huh?
That's right.
Even if he had lost, he would have been able to make his house note.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then Sean Spicer, the new press secretary, we talked about him. I'm just going to refer to him as Trump's mini-me because that's what he is. As I say, you got to pinch yourself to make sure, because for a lot of people, we've always wanted to say, man, I wish somebody would talk back at the media for once.
Yeah.
And not
let them have it.
Let them have it for once. And now you have a president and a press secretary who will do something like that if they feel they need to. Anyway, it's a new day. Going to make it fun to talk about. I'll tell you that right now. All right, Steve Jordahl, we've left him with 5 minutes of time. He's been here. He's been here since 11 o'clock Central Time, and it's 11:24.
That's
He's had to laugh quietly when we make jokes.
I've been agreeing with almost everything you're saying. It is a new day. It is. We haven't seen. This is a new cat. Believe me.
What do you got there to talk about, Steve?
Top of the page at onenewsnow.com. Let me just point your attention there really quickly. Dr. Richard Land is talking about what you guys are talking about. Welcome back to D.C. God is back in the nation's capital. And we have a poll question. What is your reaction to the inaugural prayers that you heard at that inauguration? I wanted to talk to you guys about a last-minute gift we got from our former president. on Friday. This is hours before he was the ex-president and hours before Mr. Trump, with his new foreign policy agenda, came in. Mr. Obama released $221 million to the Palestinians. And much of that money is going to be used. Some of it will be used for humanitarian purposes, what it was intended for. But no doubt Hamas is going to get some of it. Rockets and bombs and stuff going over the wall to Israel. It's the gift that keeps on giving. That
Well, Obama just hates Israel, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, unlike any other president, he has been the most anti-Israel. Now he might characterize it as being pro-Palestinian, but when you allow the Security Council, when you do not veto a resolution condemning Israel, which I don't think has ever been done by a U.S. president, then you're anti-Israel in my book.
Yeah.
He couches it like this. He believes in a two-state solution, but a two-state solution with the Palestinians, forgive me if I'm offending anybody by saying this, but it's like trying to set up house with Charles Manson. You just don't want to turn your back on the guy, and it's not safe to be in the same room with him.
Well, not as long as Hamas basically rules the Palestinian side, and Hamas will settle for nothing but driving Israel into the sea. And killing all the
Jews.
That's
in their charter. I mean, we're not making that up.
So that's the people you're telling Israel they have to negotiate with. And anyway, so, wow. So how much money did
$221 million. It's sitting in, there's a fund of actually $2 billion that was earmarked for things like this. But he released it as he was going out of office. I mean, it must have been hours at most hours before he lost the power to do it.
I've been to Israel many times before, going back in March, and I've dealt with many Arabs over the years. Palestinians, they also, Arabs go by that name there, yeah. Palestinians. And both Muslims and Christians. And I had one gentleman tell me who was 70 years old, and he was a Palestinian, Israeli citizen, Christian. He was a tour guide for many years. And he just told me, he said, this is Palestinian now. He said that Yasser Arafat basically just stole the money. And that's been a problem with the Palestinian leadership, is they take this money that's given to them by countries around the world, like this $221 million that Obama sent them, and they use it for their own tyrannical purposes, to build palaces or to, as Yasser Arafat had it, in Swiss bank accounts.
It was $1 billion or something crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like a mob leader.
Right.
Except what you do is you take the money, use it for your own purposes as the mobsters, and then you stir everybody else up to hate, to keep the...
Yeah, and he was head of the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, for decades. I think when I was in high school, he was...
There's very little, if any, accountability, what I'm saying, for this money, and that's why some of it will end up in... maybe a lot of it will end up in the hands of Hamas that Obama released to the Palestinians. This is a long, complicated topic. We'll explore it later. I'm all for treating people equally. God loves Palestinians or Arabs like he loves Jews or Christians or anybody else. But so it's nothing. But it's a well. We're out of time. We're not going to solve Israeli-Palestinian differences in the next 10 seconds. I'll just say adieu. See you tomorrow.